it comes fast. End of the line. Who's ready for that? Car, heart, train, volcano, whatever. You try to take the time you have and live the best you can, but the unusual suspects have a job to do, despite the risks, despite the traffic, despite Kiefer. This is Highly Suspect Reviews. Too early to say don't Pompeii to see Pompeii.
Or as you put it, just say volcano to this film. You know, I'm not even going to call it Pompeii because to me, this is snow versus the volcano.
All right, you win.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
sorry.
We can just boom. Turn it off now.
Yep. And most people have. So it works out.
I was so hoping this would be good because I grew up watching Irwin Island disaster films.
Yeah.
I even liked stuff like Volcano.
Yeah, sure.
You know, in Dante's Peak.
Right, which there are elements of those movies in this, so you're in luck.
Certainly. Elements or just blatantly stolen from, you take your pick.
Yeah.
When I was in the audience before this, waiting for the start, I heard someone saying, oh, well, this is the latest Roland Emmerich film. And I turned around and went, no, it's not. This is actually Paul W.S. Anderson. You went, oh, thank God. I thought it was Emmerich. And I went, oh, you
That's
mother-
bullshit.
I was like, motherfucker, you better, you wit. I wish this was Roland Emmerich.
Yeah.
Because he knows how to destroy shit. It may be a terrible movie, but you're at least going to enjoy shit falling apart.
Yeah.
Paul W.S. Anderson, I don't know.
It's weird to say as a negative that this movie isn't a recipe for disaster. But if this had the right recipe for disaster, it wouldn't have sucked as hard as it did.
Of course, I am Chris Cox.
Oh, and I'm Brian Salisbury.
And joining us, even though he hasn't seen it because I told him to...
Elliot. I do what they tell me to do.
Sit still and be quiet until I tell you to say something else.
And this is our highly suspect review of Pompeii, a movie whose ending we will definitely not spoil, because obviously that's a big part of the mystery of the film, is what happens to Pompeii.
See, you say that, but there's probably a good 10% of the population that's going to go in there. Are they going to get out?
Yeah.
Are they going to stop it?
Those are the same idiots who went to see Titanic and thought it was too sad.
All right, so here's the thing, though. This is a movie
that
climbs up the cliche tree and hits every branch on the way back down. And yet, when it gets to the end, it goes, all right, here's where we're going to break convention a little bit. We're going to make you think we're going to Titanic it. But no, we're going to do something just different enough to make the only people who might actually enjoy this film walk away hating it.
And then when it gets to the bottom, it realizes that a rolling cliche gathers no moss and that a cliche in the hand is worth two in the bush. Just, there's like weird, it's cliche-ception at this point. Yeah.
It's a spinning volcano on the table. Which way will it fall?
Seriously, if Mount Vesuvius had been spinning, that would have been a really cool feature of this film. But I mean, we don't even need to tell you the plot of the movie necessarily.
Mount Saint Hell in a theater.
Yeah, no shit. So here's the thing about volcanoes that most people don't know is that at extremely high temperatures, things become very pliable, which is why when the sheer force of this eruption happens, Gladiator and Conan the Barbarian become fused to the script. And somehow it forms this three-headed monster that is guarding the gates of hell. It's crazy. This movie steals from Gladiator so much it's embarrassing.
It steals from Conan so much
it's
embarrassing. And the basic structure is Titanic.
Yeah.
Let's make no mistake.
So here's the thing. If you steal from things, isn't that usually a shortcut to be better? How do you mess that up?
No, you can steal badly. And this is an example of stealing things badly. I will give this movie this. If they had decided to go with a R-rated exploitation-y version of this, I would have actually had a fun time.
I was having fun for about the first 15 minutes, and then everything went to Mount St. Helena in a handbasket.
Well, the story here follows basically Kit Harington, who you might know as Jon Snow from Game of Thrones, who is basically playing Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
He needs to go the fuck back to the wall. I'm sorry.
As a little kid who, as the titles tell us, 20 years or so earlier, there's a bunch of Celts who are wiped out by the Roman legions because they're not Romans, I guess, pretty much. They're in the way of something. It's not important. Who cares? But he witnesses his parents being killed. He fakes his own death, but ends up getting grabbed. And, like, you know, he's like really little kid. I'm surprised he's smart enough to fake his own death. But still, ends up getting grabbed and brought to the Colosseum.
It's more a matter that the Romans aren't smart enough to notice this little kid is totally not dead at all.
Flash to years and years later. He's all grown up. He's Jon Snow now. As they keep reminding us, and boy, do they never fail to remind us, oh, he's a badass. Yeah. He didn't really look like that much of a badass. He looks like an indie rock pretty boy, but still... They want to make it clear.
He looks like the lead singer of Skinny Puppy.
Well, no. That guy looks horrible, actually. Ogre looks like he's about to die of some terrible disease. But you know,
there you go.
Yeah, but no, he doesn't look like the guy who is that everyone is threatened by. But they throw him into the pit with everybody else, and he quickly forms a sort of weird adversarial friendship with Adewale Akinnoye.
Mr. Echo.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Echo.
Because I couldn't get the last part.
No, right. No one's going to be able to pronounce that. But you're missing the part where it's literally, let me see if you can follow this. He is cast, his family is murdered. He's cast aside. He ends up getting roped in he gets kidnapped and roped into being a gladiator. He starts in a really tiny village where this kind of corrupt gladiator handler decides, oh, we should take him to the big city and make more money off of him. If that doesn't sound familiar to you by now, you've never seen Gladiator. Yeah, and then he gets to the big city and he's teamed up with this giant black African gladiator and they form a friendship. Does this sound familiar still?
Let's not forget, there's a scene about where he gets whipped on the wheel as well. It's Conan!
And there's a scene where they're recreating a famous battle from their own history and someone turns to the other one and says, this isn't how I remember it happening. It is fucking shameless how much this movie steals from Gladiator.
Yeah, which is makes it that much more shameful. Gladiator's not even a good movie. Oh, I said it.
You're wrong, but that's fine. That's fine. I don't mind you being wrong.
I'm the last time I'm going to say it. I'm just like, I hate that movie, but whatever.
But luckily, the one element that is in here that makes the movie worth, I can't even say it with a straight face. I was going to try.
No, I appreciate the effort, but go ahead.
Okay, so Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, you can't do it. I can't listen to you do it. I'm sorry. Let me stop you right there. Kiefer Sutherland is not the thing that makes this a good movie.
No.
Nothing makes this a good movie. In fact, all right, so you know what? I'm going to take you way back. No, stop right now. No,
that was me, like the countdown to my exploding during this movie.
Let me take you way back to Chris Klein in a movie called
Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun-Li,
who was so bad.
Yeah,
but I can't help but imagine he like knew that the material was bad, so he was playing it for bad. I'm not crediting him as an actor.
Neither should IMDb.
I'm just saying that movie is actually better because he's in it.
Yeah, that's true. That is a terrifyingly accurate fact.
But Pompeii, on the other hand, and Kiefer Sutherland's performance, while equally terrible, why am I doing William Shatner all the time?
While equally terrible.
Is not better for it. Kiefer is so bad here, there just aren't words.
No.
You've got to Shatner the description of this, because it's the only way to really get across how truly bad his performance is.
I mean, characters standing around gasping in awe, not at his evil deeds, but at his line delivery.
So yeah. Does he start chewing drapes at one point?
Almost. He plays a Roman senator who has come to Pompeii chasing, basically, the beautiful princess, what the fuck ever. The girl is...
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Now that's a Disney movie.
Yeah. Like, the girl who is the one that ultimately, of course, Kit Harington / Jon Snow is going to fall in love with. The girl that is the daughter of Jared Harris, who the first time in his career, as near as I can tell, is playing a genuinely nice guy. And Carrie Ann Moss, who doesn't get to do a thing in this movie except look mildly nauseated every time the camera's pointed
at her. Be the midpoint between Jared Harris being decent and Kiefer Sutherland being, you know, Jack Bauer doing Shakespeare in the Park.
He's doing Jack Bauer playing Shakespeare in the Park. Like, if he was in, like, a Larry Clark film, because he's all rapey the whole time. You know, he's just like, he comes in and just says, look, I'm going to marry your daughter, or slash you know, impregnate her with my seed.
And he plays it with all the subtlety of that Icelandic volcano that went off and disrupted flight patterns for like a month.
Pretty much.
He literally at one point is like, "And if you don't marry me, I will kill your family." And I'm like, "Stop. Immediately stop that."
So it sounds...
Oh, go ahead.
It sounds like he watched Braveheart and was just like, "Oh, Prima Nocta. I'm gonna put that in there too. It's gonna be good."
There are so many moments here, especially with him and Jared Harris and Carrie-Anne Moss, where he's just doing his thing. He's on his little Kiefer Sutherland, "I'm an actor." And
actor!
Can you believe he was originally an A-list actor all during his career?
The list was much shorter back then.
Every time it shows Jared Harris and Carrie-Anne Moss responding to it, which is supposed to be like horror at like what he's saying because he's such a dick, it comes across to the audience more like horror at what a terrible delivery he's giving of his lines, because it's just that bad.
I just figured out who his movie villain counterpart is. It's Lord Farquaad from Shrek. He is playing the Roman senator version of Lord Farquaad from Shrek.
Absolutely nailed that. But ultimately, of course, Kit Harington ends up being a Colosseum warrior. He becomes best friends with Adewale, Mr. Echo.
Just say Jimon Hansu, it's easier.
Same character.
Yeah, same character. I'm not saying they all look alike. I'm saying these characters are exactly the same.
Who I will say right now is the high point of this film.
Yeah.
Like, by far. That guy is such an amazingly talented actor.
Mr. Echo is the best part of this movie, and that demands to be said again. Mr. Echo is the best part of this movie.
He's the only guy who gets that he's in a bad movie and plays it really well while still knowing how to do that combination between being a badass and knowing how to make the audience laugh.
Yeah.
He's that guy. And to some degree, because Kit Harington is not a bad actor at all, even though he is indeed playing it a little too serious.
Yeah, it's not that he's a bad actor, but you're right. It's just
he doesn't get the balance.
No, and that's all thanks to the fact that Paul W.S. Anderson, first of all, this weekend is the weekend of shit directors. Mm. Mick G has a movie this weekend, and so does Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yeah, what are you going to do? It's February still. Like, things have not fixed themselves in the universe yet. That didn't happen until the end of February, early March.
Yeah.
300 coming up, so, you know.
No, 300, the sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Directed by
the sequel. What do you call it when it takes place at the exact same time as the original film?
Side story?
Because there's prequel, there's sequel, there's got to be something with quill in it.
Unredeemable. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the word is.
It doesn't matter. We're not reviewing 300. Although we might as well be, I suspect.
At this point, sure. Because there are moments of completely needless slow motion in the film, in this film. And there aren't a lot of them. But what really burns me up about that, no pun intended, volcanoes, but what really burns me up about that...
Don't be an asshole.
Right? I'm sorry. Return that joke to sender. The thing is, what really burns me up about that is the actual fight scenes in the movie are edited so hardcore on a sewing machine that I counted at one point. So Jon Snow and Mr. Echo, I know those aren't their real names. Fuck you. They're having this battle, like, with the wooden swords when they're training in the arena. So it's just sort of, I'll attack you, you'll attack me. We'll Yeah, show the size of our swords, whatever. And in a 30-second maneuver, in a 30-second back and forth between the two of them, there were 11 cuts. Ooh. 11 fucking, not even, you know what, 30 seconds, that's not even how long that was. 10 seconds at most.
I'll go further than that and say that, like, most television that does action violence is bloodier and more convincing than the violence we're seeing in this film. Most television, not even HBO or Showtime or Cinemax, I'm talking about like regular TV, is like more convincing than this.
And say what you want about Gladiator, but when those battles were done, there were pieces of people laying everywhere. Yeah, and it made more fucking sense.
Yeah, this is not a bloody film. This is the movie that...
No, this is a bloody bad film.
This is the movie that's actually okay to bring your kids to if you want your kids to grow up mediocre, little mindless fucks, but like not affected by violence, because there's not a lot, really.
Yeah.
Even the volcano itself, which they consistently remind you throughout the film. God, early on in the movie, there's this point where they keep panning up to show you the volcano repeatedly. It's like, we know there's a volcano there.
You don't
have to keep doing the same fucking shot.
No, dude, I was thankful for that because it was a merciful reminder that at some point, something like this cleansing tide of fire was going to come through and remove this movie entirely.
Everything. Maybe they were trying to get you to root for the volcano.
I was rooting for the volcano, especially at the end. Oh my God, the end! When what you expect to happen in a movie called Pompeii happens, there are all these little moments where like Mr. Echo is doing things that are very quote unquote heroic, but it's like, Everybody's going to die. Yeah. I don't care if you save a little girl who's being trampled in the street, because she's still going to be turned to ash by the end of the movie. And yet they put so much gravitas on it. It's like, no, I will save you. And it's like, no, just leave the bitch there. Everybody's going to die.
You're right. It's really asinine.
It is.
Nice. I can see the wheels turning on that one as you listen.
Sorry, the smoke coming out of the ears.
I didn't understand the magnitude of your puns until now.
Well, you know what? Lava it or hate it. This is still a film.
I'm just a bunch of punologists. So
yeah, it's true.
Sorry. I'm done. I swear.
I'm not.
But no, all through the film, it keeps building up with a little like, oh, things are shaking. Oh, I mean, it reminds it, like, it's so much Titanic with that, those moments where it would go like, oh, dong, 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 knock on these pipes. That's not normal. Well, we'll deal with it later. It's the same deal with people going like, huh, it doesn't normally react this way, the mountain. Oh, well, we'll be fine.
I'm going to stop you right there, movie. Okay, I will buy that shit in a contemporary film, maybe, where people are like, oh, what was that? I don't know. But in a movie where you're talking about ancient, you know, Rome, ancient Pompeii, that had a god for everything, and at one point they even reference the fact that they think there's a god who lives in the volcano. If that earth starts shaking, they would all be outside praying to that thing and figuring out what they needed to do to please it. They would not be ignoring it. That makes no fucking sense, even within the context of this film.
Are you a Vulcan or a Volcant?
I Volcant believe you made that joke, that's for
sorry.
Sure.
I just said I wasn't going
to
do that anymore.
Are you out of your Vulcan mind?
Yeah, sorry. Wow, Paz Vega was in this at some point. I don't even remember seeing her in this movie.
She played Flavia.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, her wasn't that a character in Gladiator? Come on,
so.
Flavius, I think.
Oh, it was really. By the way, it was distracting me that Jared Harris's character. It says his name was Lucretius, but it sounds like they were calling him Severus. I don't think this is correct.
No. Jared Harris. Yeah, you're right. Jared Harris was named Severus.
So I don't know why
the Wikipedia page is wrong.
Yeah, this is completely fucking wrong.
Yeah.
This actually may be the cast from Gladiator that they've assigned. Maybe they got confused too. Who knows?
But they
kept calling him Severus, and I was like, "Oh, I trust him then, obviously, because he's going to take down Voldemort."
He's eventually
at the end.
Going to like, yeah, like,
well, they,
make
they
it.
They went
yeah.
on a Snape hunt.
Oh,
I like
you. Come
I,
on the field with
I approve Kill of that
him.
Joke.
Kill
that
him.
Was good.
10 points for Gryffindor.
Ten points for Gryffindor.
Now do it as Jeff Goldblum.
10 points for Gryffindor. I don't know. I can't do Goldblum.
Okay, well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Since it sounds like this movie is a volcano of shit.
Yeah.
If you wanted to watch a good disaster / volcano movie, what would you watch?
Either of the two that came out in the 90s. Honestly, neither of them are good.
Actually,
but
I kind of like Dante's Peak.
No. You like it. I like it. They're not
it's
good.
Not good.
They're not good movies.
It's not good.
They're both a lot of fun. There's even a scene in this movie where it's like, we're going to bathe the horse. The horse doesn't want to get in the water. Why? Oh, because it's boiling. And I was like, yeah, I saw Pierce Brosnan do this. He grabs the kid before he jumps in. It's the same movie.
There's a point very early in this film with that where like huge tracts of land dissolve into boiling water, like not even a mile from the city. And a whole day later, no one has still noticed.
Yeah. I think the problem, honestly, is that they didn't throw half this cast into that volcano to satiate the gods. I think that is really
this
the issue
like
here.
The sequel to The Happening over here.
The biggest problem is they're trying to develop this as this, like, doomed romance story between Kit Harington and Emily Browning, who is the almost charisma-less love interest in
yeah.
the movie.
Which is funny, because there's nothing supernatural in the film, necessarily. They mention gods, but there's nothing supernatural. Except the fact that Emily Browning looks like she's from the neighboring kingdom of Hyrule, which is really bizarre.
She just, like, adds nothing to this movie.
No,
at
not
all.
At all.
Not even sexiness, really. They cover her up to the point that, along with the lack of, like, visual violence, you go, who are you selling this movie
and
to?
Not only that, but all the while, her, like, handmaiden lady, Ariadne,
who has just got boobs.
Her tits are hanging out all over the place, and it's like
1,000 times sexier than
she is. What is going on?
I don't know what's going on. Jessica Lucas, who actually looks really good in this movie and has a very ignominious end, to say the least.
One of the
like laughable, like, because the movie's just so bad, you're like, it's almost worth seeing this movie for her end scene, because it's like, wow, this is, you could sum up in 20 minutes. In 20 seconds, everything that's wrong with this movie by showing that sequence alone.
Yeah.
As we get to the third act, which turns into a giant chase scene between Kit Harington, who's chasing on a horse, Kiefer Sutherland, who's got Emily Browning in a chariot.
Literally chariots of fire.
Just driving, as near as I can tell, randomly through the city. It's not like they have to obey traffic laws at this point, because it takes them forever. They're just, you watch them on camera going in circles at points.
Yeah.
Why are you doing
that? It's like Grand Theft Acropolis. It's the dumbest fucking thing I have ever seen.
And the city conveniently disintegrates only in points right after Kit Harington has passed through them.
And you think characters would learn not to turn their fucking backs on Kiefer Sutherland? It was like watching a Jason Voorhees sequel. It's like, he's not dead. Why do you think he is dead? Stop turning your back on him.
I'm just saying, 2012 kept coming to my head and going, it was better.
Fuck that. AD 12 did this movie better.
I don't know. I'm going to have final thoughts this right now. This is a lazy production. At best, I can say the best, and I want to come out and say the things that are good about it. Adewale.
Oh, we are doing that.
Yes. Okay. Adewale is actually really good in it. And I think that there's a genuine chemistry to some degree between him and Kit Harington. Whenever they're on screen together, you're actually kind of into it. It gives you hope that these two guys, these two gladiators, are going to bring this to somewhere interesting. Unfortunately, they never do. Even like when it gets towards the end and everybody goes towards the incredibly predictable like places their characters go. Like, I mean, every fight scene, you know right when it starts how exactly it's going to end. Even with him, it's like, oh, just a facepalm of a situation. But his performance, you've got to note here. I'll give notes to the CG guys, who actually did some interesting stuff with the volcano. There's a sequence where the ocean floods. I don't know enough about, you know, say, volcano science to know why suddenly there's a tsunami coming in. But there is.
Because fuck it, why not? Because
fuck it, why not? And there's a tidal wave, and it comes in, and they do this actually very entertaining sequence where a boat that's on fire is coming down the main street of Pompeii through this flood as everyone's running through it. And you're like, okay, that's actually kind of cool. I got to admit, what's the expression?
Hands on?
I don't know.
What do you, what?
Something. Like, applause. Applause. That was cool.
You gotta hand it to them.
Hands together.
Yeah, that's what it
is. Did you make too many puns and now your brain is literally broken?
It's what happened.
His brain has switched gears to just puns. It's like, it's forgotten all the other phrases.
What's the one, not the joke one, but the actual phrase? You mean you gotta hand it to them? Yeah, that's the one. See, unless someone's hand actually gets cut off, you don't know how to use that expression anymore.
It's true. But everything else about this movie is horrible, and I will say that Kiefer Sutherland is the high point of horrible, and it's not an entertaining horrible.
No.
He's just embarrassing, turn your face from the screen horrible. Oh my god, so not fun. I've got to give this 2 out of 24 hours.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to give it.
Yeah, our rating system means nothing. This movie, the biggest problem with this movie is not that it doesn't have an original bone in its body. In fact, for the first act of the movie, I was kind of enjoying what they were doing where they were just wholesale, you know, ripping off Conan the Barbarian and then they were ripping off Gladiator. Fine, whatever. The big problem, to paraphrase one of the movies that this film steals from, I was not entertained. That was the big issue, is that once you get to the second and third act, everything slows down to a crawl. All of the performances become so ham-fisted and weak, and the fact that you're not getting any sort of, like, catharsis out of seeing, like, a bloody action scene, especially, or even an action scene that's well-filmed, even an action scene that's satisfying because we actually can tell what's going on, I lost all interest. And, it started to grate on me a lot, and I have to say that I shouldn't be one of the big failings of this movie. I mean, yes, some of the CG is really good. Some of the CG actually reminded me of the stuff they're doing on Game of Thrones, where they take, you know, a very, what is obviously a very small set and make it look enormous. That's, and they do it really well, except that the points where you kind of see the seams and the points where things seem really cloudy, it all has to do with the 3D. Do not see this movie in 3D. I hate saying that because one of the things I was really looking forward to was when I heard, okay, Pompeii in 3D sounds like a thing you would see at the museum, not necessarily at a multiplex, but something that could be enjoyable because it's like, oh, you know, that's a part of history. It's a really tragic story. And seeing a volcano erupt in 3D would be really cool. It's not. They fuck it up. And it makes even the good CG start to look bad after a while.
That's true. It's a little rocky.
It is a little rocky. And speaking of things I shouldn't be laughing at, that's the whole ending where people are just basically being murdered by nature. I'm cracking up. I should not be laughing at that. And yes,
too soon.
I admit that I'm a sociopath. I get that. That's fine.
Too soon, man.
But other people in the theater were laughing. It wasn't just me.
You're saying that a movie like this shouldn't be eliciting laughs. It should be making you feel the pathos of that loss.
Yeah.
A good movie would make you feel that, and this is just cheapening it to where you don't feel anything.
Definitely. This movie does not know what is best in lava, and I, for that reason, I have to give it 3 out of 10 virgins that should have been sacrificed to the volcano in the first place.
Magma. This movie sucks.
You're going to make me erupt in about 5 seconds, and not the good way.
I'm going to end this review with a single click. We'll be done.